Welcome to this anointed message taught by Pastor Lynn Schall of Amazing Grace Fellowship. We believe your life will be enriched by hearing the word of truth, the reality of faith, and the message of the goodness of God. Here's Pastor Lynn.
Romans chapter 3, the end of that chapter, talks about all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, right? So turn to your neighbor and say, that's you. Okay? We've all sinned, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. Paul spends a little bit in chapter 4 talking about actions. Chapter 5, he gets into and says, shall sin abound so that grace can more abound? And so we talked about this idea because I had some comments kind of in by way of a statement slash question form of what about some teaching today that seems to be pretty prevalent in the body of Christ that the instant you call somebody to a point of responsibility, you've just removed yourself. You're no longer filled with grace. Have you ever, I guess this is a pretty significant teaching around. We need more teaching about grace in the body of Christ, and people need to be more graceful. And I would agree with that on its outset. What I would disagree with is that, I mean, if you know, there is a responsibility that Christians have to live a certain way. I guess this teaching, the instant you start to go there about, you know, calling us to responsibility, then all of a sudden you get accused of, well, you just don't have any grace in your life, and you know, whatever. So are you familiar with that? I haven't delved into that type of teaching, but I have heard a few things, seen a few posts on some different things that, you know, whatever. By the way, I did hear an interesting stat that just really grieved me. That 30% of people 30 years and under today consider themselves a Christian, but have no affiliation with a local church family and will not. Isn't that's sad to me. What's sad to me about that is, how many of you know that a family provides a lot of support when you go through difficult times? And if you're not connected to a family, my heart hurts for how hard some of those things will be to go through. But anyhow, so we looked at Wednesday night, this idea of Paul talking about, so shall we just go ahead and sin more so that grace can abound more? And of course, the answer to that is what? A capital, you know, capital letters, no, right? And so we're going to talk today about the application of God's grace in our life. Last week, we talked about how that God's grace is freely given. Aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you thankful that God's grace isn't based upon our performance? Because how many of you know our performance is dismal as in terms as humans? So thank God that His grace is just freely given to us to say, here it is. And we've defined grace, at least for this discussion. And I think it, you know, straight across the board. But grace is God's ability extended our way where we have none to bring change. And it's certainly unmerited. It's certainly unmerited blessing in our life, unmerited favor of the Lord. We didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. We're not good enough to get it. All of that, but it is there. So we then talked about Ephesians chapter 2. We talked about how that our salvation comes because of the grace of God given to us. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Once though we become a Christian, here's the thing that I'm hoping that we grab a hold of. As opposed to thinking of grace the way Paul kind of is pointing his finger at and says, shall sin abound so that grace can abound more? Look at grace this way. Grace, because you've probably heard terms like sloppy agape and a sloppy application of the grace of God, that we can just kind of live however we want and the grace of God covers. Hopefully we're more mature than that to subscribe to that sort of an idea. But here's the thing. The grace of God is made available to us to live a righteous life. Amen? So listen, just think about this, that so much of the time Christians try to live free of struggle, okay? So much of the time Christians try to live free of struggle when all along we should try to live to be faithful. The emphasis difference there makes all the difference in the world. Instead of trying to live free of struggle, how about let's try to live to be faithful, and then nothing else really matters. Isn't that right? So that then whatever does come that can bring, you know, difficulty or whatever, if our goal is by the grace of God, I will be faithful, then how many of you know we can truly stand and see God's ability extended our way where we have no ability. Amen? So anyhow, let's look here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. In talking about grace, I'm going to get to my notes a little bit here. We can't just concentrate on God's goodness or His saving grace, because I believe this will lead to a misunderstanding and worse, a misapplication of God's grace. In practical Christian living, this will lead to sloppy living in terms of our obedience to Christ. Grace is not an excuse, but it's an empowerment to live a life obedient to Christ. So we can tap into God's grace and say, Father, by your grace, by your ability, by your unmerited favor extended our way, God, by your grace, I'm going to live a life obedient to Christ. Practically speaking, grace is evident in our lives when we live a life of obedience to the Lord. I spent a bit of time Wednesday night talking about what does the world see? We talked about, on Wednesday night, we talked about practice and position. And in position, we've been made to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. How many of you are thankful for that? Position, we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But listen, the world doesn't see position. The world only sees practice. Amen? Never in my failure as a Christian has the world responded back and said, oh, that's okay. I know that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I know that you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Don't worry about it. No big deal. Anybody ever had that happen? Anybody ever had that happen when you honked your horn at somebody because they were sitting through the light still and the light's been green now for 30 seconds and they still haven't moved and you kind of got a little bit irritated? Not that that's ever happened to me, but dread it happens to quite frequently. I have to tell her, honey, just calm down. It's no big deal. Right? Anybody ever been curt with somebody before and you had to go back and apologize? They don't see our position, Christians. They see our practice. They don't see the inside of our heart. They don't see that we didn't want to do that. They don't see the struggle that Paul talked about, the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things that I do, I don't want to do, right? They don't see that. They look at, and then they make their judgment call, and I understand that they can go overboard and, whatever. They can make a whole bunch of excuses, but listen, we need the grace of God in our lives in practice to help us live that life of a Christian that brings honor and glory to God. Amen? Okay, so look here. We talked last week about the airplane, had several responses from that. Did that maybe help give an idea of what it is? Airplane is the grace of God. Faith is the ticket. You're not going to get on the airplane unless you have a ticket. Anybody remember that at all? Okay. I had several responses that just really helped some people figure it out. So listen, let's read here 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and we'll start in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Now just stop right there. Don't read further. Brethren, we're going to make known to you the grace of God. So now all of a sudden what you can expect by the sentence or by the writing is what you can expect is there's going to be a proof that says, Paul says, we're going to make known to you the grace of God that was bestowed upon the churches in Macedonia. So grace isn't just a concept. Grace is not just a feeling. Grace isn't just this spiritual idea. Grace, the grace of God, can be seen. Is what I'm trying to say. The grace of God can be seen. It's not just a belief. It's not just a concept. Does that make sense to you? Now look at the very next verse. You see Paul already starting to reveal what this is. That. So brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches in Macedonia, that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. So we could say this. From verse 1, you can see the grace of God in action. Verse 2, here's what you can say. Grace will cause an irony to take place. Here they are in a great trial of affliction. So we don't know what that affliction was necessarily. But listen, every one of us in this room, if you've been alive in Christ for more than a week, you've experienced on some level difficulty, okay? Some has experienced a lot in our lifetimes. We've experienced a lot of maybe what we could say affliction. And what doesn't make sense is that in the midst of a great trial of affliction, look what it says. Paul is making known the grace of God. So the grace of God enabled the Macedonian churches that in a great trial of affliction, they had an abundance of joy. And even though they were in deep poverty, they abounded in the riches of their giving. Isn't that incredible what grace will do? Here they were in a great trial of affliction and poor, but they had incredible joy. And they weren't stingy in their giving. They were abundant in their giving. How many of you know that doesn't make natural sense? When you're in a great trial of affliction, what should you act like? Yeah, freak out. And if you're poor, in the natural, what do? Hold on to everything you got. You don't have much. So listen, think about in our own lives how the grace of God can cause us in the midst of great struggle, in the midst of a great trial, in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of whatever you want to name, the grace of God in our lives can be applied so that we can have great joy. Amen? And that, you know what? It may make sense in the natural for a poor person to not give, but you know what? For the Christian, how many of you know we don't go by just the natural? The grace of God. Thank God. This whole deal is predicated on verse 1. We're going to make known to you the grace of God that was bestowed upon these churches, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, beyond their ability, they were freely willing. Paul's showing what the grace of God did to these Macedonians. Now, he's referring to a specific group of people at a specific time. But we all know this, that the grace of God, because God is no respecter of persons, can cause the same type of stuff to happen in us. Isn't that right? In other words, this just wasn't special for the Macedonian churches. How many of you know we can apply the same principles, the same truth in our own lives? Amen? So there they are, verse 3, grace, the grace of God will get you past your own ability. God's grace, His ability extended our way where we have no ability that will bring change. We see it in action right there. Verse 4, imploring with us that with much urgency we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. So here's this group of churches, the Macedonian Christians. Here's this group of people that are super poor. They're in a great trial of affliction, and they're begging Paul to take their gift of giving. Imploring means that they're just, Paul, you gotta take this. Paul, obviously, this impacted Paul greatly, right? Paul says, I can bear witness to seeing the grace of God in this group of people's life because they beg me that with urgency we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering of the saints, and not only as we had hope, but they first gave themselves to the Lord, offering, and then to us by the will of God. So here's how we apply, first and foremost, the grace of God in our lives, is we fully surrender ourselves to the Lord and say, God, I'm yours. Do with me as you wish. Amen. God's grace then can enter, if I could say it this way, even maybe flood our lives and cause us to do things that we could never do on our own. Cause us to experience things that we could never experience by ourselves. Amen? Thank God. Now look at verse 6. So we urged Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete this grace in you as well. But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. We don't commonly refer to in our circles about the grace of God. We would interpose maybe the word gift more in our circles. But these, God's ability, His grace in us, Paul talked about in Romans 5 there, and he's talking about it here to the Corinthian church, that you can, in fact, Paul uses this phrase in Romans. He says that in this grace in which you stand. So think about that for a moment. Where is our position or our posture when it comes to how we live life? And I don't know about you, but I want to be positioned to where I'm standing in the grace of God for His grace to help me live a godly life, for His grace to help me be a godly husband. His grace can help me be a godly husband, right? That's not to say that I don't, you know, engage my brain and all that sort of stuff to learn how to relate to my wife and so on and so forth. I want to stand in God's grace, and I want to abound in God's grace to be a godly dad. Are you with me? But in every other area of life, all the way down to being a musician, all the way down to making decisions that I need to make, I fully expect, entreat, ask for, try to make sure. I surrender my life to Him. That's where it starts. I surrender my life to the Lord first and foremost. And then I want to position myself to be a recipient of the grace of God, so that He can cause me in situations that in the normal, I ought to be freaking out, but in the supernatural, I'm at peace and I'm at joy. That in the natural, I shouldn't be, I'm just using the Macedonian example there, that in the natural, when I shouldn't be giving, that I just beg people to take my gift. That I'm able, as Paul said, that they could go above and beyond. That I'm not then just limited to my ability, my wisdom, my reasoning, my whatever. But that I can step into utilizing God's ability, His wisdom, His whatever else to come alongside and to allow us to do things that we could never do by ourselves. I'm thankful for God's grace. So Paul talks about, and that's a whole other series, talks about abounding in faith, abounding in speech, abounding in knowledge, abounding in diligence. Amen. Diligence to what? To live a godly life. To be honorable to God. In your love, abound in that, and then see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but I'm testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at this. Paul now is going to give an example of the grace of God in the Lord Jesus' life. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now look, Paul's going to describe something he did. Yet that through, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. There again, when Paul talks about the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, he describes the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ by something Jesus did. This idea of grace, please, I hope we can get it in our brains. Grace is not a concept. Grace enables us to do. Amen? Is there any people in your life that are unlovely? Don't raise your hand. Every one of us in here know people that boy, it just is a test. Right? Okay? But you know what? God's grace can seriously, I mean in a very real way, God's grace can cause us, can help us. It won't make us, because grace is voluntary, receiving it. Okay, there's a thought bump. I can see your brows all starting to furrow. Don't let them furrow too long. It'll become a wrinkle. Is grace, the application of God's grace, is it or is it not voluntary? It has to be voluntary. You're saved. How? Voluntarily. Every application of God's grace in our life is a voluntary act on our part. Voluntarily surrendering our life to God first, right? Being a recipient of God's grace, But listen, receiving God's grace is not just a concept. It's to do something. So we can apply it. We can apply God's grace in our life in whatever area we need it to be. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that through his poverty we might become rich. And in this I give advice. It's to your advantage not only to be doing what you began. Notice it doesn't say to continue believing what you believe. It says by doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago. But now you also must complete the doing of it. That as there was a readiness to desire it, so there may also be a completion of what you have. So listen, here's what Paul's saying. You can have the desire to do something, but you need the grace to get it done. Now, how many of you have had some really great desires? I have. That's all of us. That you really wanted to get something figured out in your life and get it handled. Are you there? And all of us have also failed at walking it through. Amen? Paul's talking about here to this little 11 verse deal, I just think is a beautiful picture. Paul says, listen to the Corinthian church. Let me put it in my paraphrase. Corinthian church, you guys have had a great idea. You've had a desire. You've had a great plan. But listen, it's a year later and nothing has happened. So you know what? I'm going to encourage you. It is to your advantage to get off of your blessed assurance and apply the grace of God in your life and get the job done. Start what you've desired. Amen? It's in, ultimately, the full circle in God. Believing is very important. How many of you know what you believe is very, very important? But believing is only as good as it works itself out into how you act. Amen? But when we do that, when we make that full circle, we believe something, we grab a hold of it, we go to the ticket office, and we purchase our ticket. And then we actually show up to the airport to get on the airplane of God's grace and allow His grace to take us where we need to go. And when that's accomplished, you know, actually it's just, you can purchase as many tickets as you want to accomplish whatever God has for us. Amen? Let's see that we abound in applying the grace of God in our lives. It's for us to do something. Everybody say to do something.
Thank you for listening to this podcast by Pastor Lynn Shaw of Amazing Grace Fellowship, Twin Falls, Idaho. We hope this teaching has inspired you with the word of truth, the reality of faith, and the message of the goodness of God.